Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into another edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. One more preseason show. Next week, we officially get into game week.
If you almost
can,
made
you can
it,
believe
Dustin.
That or not. Yeah, we're limping to the finish line, but we've got a really good show. Just recapping a couple news items from the past week. We're going to hear a lot from James Franklin talking about his offensive line, talking about depth, and some real good insights as to how far Penn State has come since those guys got here in 2014. Certainly since Penn State went through all the sanctions and scholarship reductions back in 2012. So we'll touch on all that. It's a heavy show from James Franklin. He is going to touch on the offensive line some, and I thought that was an interesting topic this past week because, and like I said, we'll hear a little bit of this from him, but I wanted to get your thoughts, Greg, on, you know, they were pretty open about how much they've done this offseason, this camp, to bring in new voices, to bring in seasoned NFL coaches, just to come in and share what they know about the finer points of coaching the offensive line. And I think, you know, all in all, that's a good thing for sure. But they didn't really get into, they're not bringing in safety coaches, they're not bringing in linebacker coaches, they're not bringing in D-line coaches, as far as we know, not that they talked about. So I guess my question is, what does it say to you about the state of Penn State's offensive line that they're doing this much at that position?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite clear that they feel like they have some stuff to fix there. And, you know, when the last time we heard about this happening, it was Charles Huff and Josh Gattis going around to various college and NFL programs to solicit help to fix the special teams, because at that point in time, those were struggling as well. So, I mean, if we just use history as our guide, it's quite clear that Penn State feels like they need some extra set of eyes to come in and, you know, give some opinions on what might be holding this group back, if you will. Now, look, there's obviously Rasheed Walker and whoever wins the battle between CJ Thorpe or Mike Miranda. At this point, I don't know how you took the comments from James Franklin, but to me, it sounds like they're in a weird spot there because they need to train Mike Miranda to play center and be the backup center. But that by default has to take some reps away from him in the guard battle with CJ Thorpe. So if we're forcing me to make a decision at this point, I would say that Thorpe is a guy that's probably leading that battle. So they're going to have two first time starters on that left side of the line. And then, you know, I think you can expect pretty good play from Michael Mennett and Steve Gonzalez. But when it comes to Will Fries, you know, I thought he was very up and down last season. There were games where it looked like he was really on the right track, and there were games that it looked like, you know, he wasn't the guy to start out there. And that's when you see Chaz Wright come in. Did he play a little bit better down the stretch? Yeah, I felt like it. But, you know, I don't think you can I think you need to see it to believe it in terms of just relying on his skill and ability and assume it's all going to work out. I think you need to see it work out. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But yeah, I think this is a clear sign that Penn State is not resting on its laurels and thinking that, you know, a mixture of recruiting and returning experience is going to suddenly make this group the dominant kind that you need to win in the Big Ten and to make it to the college football playoff. So I don't see it as a bad thing necessarily. Is it the world's greatest sign for Matt Limegrover? I don't know how you could interpret it that way, but at the end of the day, it's been a while since I used that one, but
it actually hasn't been that long. Yeah. You used one about 5 minutes ago when you were recording your minute.
Well, that's true.
I just didn't say anything.
It's like the factory where they keep resetting the clock for accidents and spills. I just reset that clock.
I didn't say anything. You know what I was waiting for? The end of the day,
I tell you. Beautiful. If this works, no one's going to remember that we were talking about NFL coaches and outside help coming into State College in August during training camp. No one's going to remember that. They're going to remember what they see on the field if that is successful. Now, if it's not successful, then these talking points will be brought up later in the year as, you know, James Franklin goes about evaluating everything within the program if things aren't working out the way they need to be.
I just took it as, like, this can't possibly be, you know, support of Matt Limegrover's job. I'm all for, you know, And if you have the ability to bring in staffs, like if you can bring in, you know, an Eagles O-line coach or a Steelers O-line coach, same day, come in, get out, and you can tap into that resource, you absolutely tap into that resource. But this just felt like, you know, we're doing whatever we can to learn how to coach this position. That's like the impression that I got right away. And I don't know if it's an indictment of Matt Limegrover. I don't know if you know, the freshness of ideas is due diligence or what. But I think that they could probably use those that freshness of ideas. And we'll hear from James Franklin a little bit more detail as to what that meant, what they were looking for, what kind of coaching techniques they thought they could kind of implement. As far as the offensive line itself, you know, you think about what needs to happen for this group to be even as good as it was last year, which I think people could fairly kind of gripe about that. I don't know yet if they're recruiting all the right guys. I don't know yet if they're developing the right recruits, if they are getting the right recruits. There's just a lot that, you know, for all the time that we've spent talking about Penn State's offensive line since Franklin got here, I still just don't know much about where it is and where it's going and if they are getting the right guys, if they're developing guys to the fullest. Because, you know, even guys like Connor McGovern and Ryan Bates, didn't you kind of expect, you know, full-on dominance from them at some point with all the experience they accumulated early in their careers? And that just didn't really seem to happen. So this year, we'll see. You know, I think they could use some freshness of ideas. I think they need Will Fries to turn a corner. James Franklin did mention another couple tackles, young guys to watch. You know, they got to sort this guard situation out. Steven Gonzalez, is he who he is, or is there still another level for him? That's right. What I'm curious about. I think Penn State needs to find another level for him. They need to find another level for Will Fries. Obviously, they need Rasheed Walker to hold down the left tackle job. So there's a lot of stuff we don't know about this group, and a lot of questions now about, you know, the approach to coaching it and if all this activity is going to pay off. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State football, looking ahead to 2019. We'll touch on some recruiting in just a moment. Segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com, where they've got a special extended offer through August 30th. We've been talking about the free 409 tailgate meal that you get whenever you buy, whenever you rent an RV for a Happy Valley weekend. That is extended now to August 30th, basically the end of the month, right before the August 31st home opener, which, by the way, there will be a prize for that, the Idaho game. Best appearing Penn State tailgate will get a prize. I don't know yet what the prize is. It might be a high five from Greg. It might be something better than that. Week two, want to remind you, Buffalo is a night game. I think that's the best time to come and check out GoPSURV.com. You get a lot of bang for your buck that way. And if you are interested in seeing it and not just hearing us talk about it, the lot is open to the public. You can stop by for some barbecue and some wine as well. The season is coming quick, August 31st. Check it out at GoPSURV.com. Before we get into some more actual football recruiting, one little piece of news. Mordecai McDaniel is going to decide, what is it, Wednesday, yes, August 21st. He is a very athletic safety from Washington, D.C., and all the way up until he mentioned when he was going to announce, there were no crystal ball picks for him. There was not very much information about where he was leaning, what he was feeling on the recruiting front. Since then, we have gotten all of his crystal ball picks have come in favor of Tennessee. So it looks like, you know, and usually when you have this trend late, Greg, it's not a fluke, but it looks like Tennessee's going to be the pick. Really good offer sheet. Penn State, you know, had him on an official visit back in June, I believe, and gave its best effort here, but looks like the Vols are going to be the pick.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Dustin, if unless we see a ton of change in the next 12 to 24 hours, and I don't think we're going to. I mean, we've talked about this before, but the thing with the crystal ball is sometimes you have to keep an eye on who's submitting those, because it may, you know, if it's a Brian Doan or a Sean Fitz or a Steve Wiltfong, a Barton Simmons, you know where that intel's coming from. And there's some other folks on the 247 CBS Sports Network who are in that same boat. Sometimes, though, it's just people following along for the ride, trying to pick up some points on that 247 Sports Crystal Ball scoreboard, if you will. So this is one of those cases where most of the people throwing their picks in are ones that know what's going on in this recruitment. I think it's a tough loss for Penn State because not only is this a very good safety that is rated as a 3-star, but should probably be a 4. And I think he probably will be by the time the final rankings are done for this class.
Amin Vanover is the first name that came to mind. Like,
right.
He's got some stuff to prove, but athletically, he is absolutely a 4-star. It seems like McDaniel's the same way.
Yeah, and it's just tough to lose a kid like that that lives in Washington, D.C. I know St. John's has not been a place Penn State's had tons of success in recent years. They got Aaron Monroe out of there, but some other high-profile guys at that school have went elsewhere. So, you know, it's not necessarily a great shock, I guess, that, it's not like Washington, D.C., St. John's College High School is an automatic for Penn State, but it still hurts to lose a guy that close to home, especially when you hosted him most recently.
Yeah, there's not a lot of, you know, when it comes to those prep school, Catholic school, powerhouse programs down that way and in New Jersey, you know, Penn State doesn't really have a stronghold in any of those. And, you know, to their defense, it's hard to have a stronghold there because they've been more or less national recruiting places because, you know, a lot of these big time schools are able to come in there, even if they're not going to go into the heart of Pennsylvania, for example. You can go into D.C., you can go into Northern Virginia and get a lot of bang for your buck on one visit. Same deal for New Jersey. You can get a lot of bang for your buck if you're Nick Saban or whoever, you know, Dabo Sweeney, whoever else. So, looks like Mordecai McDaniel going elsewhere. One other thing I just wanted to touch on real quick. I wanted to do this before. Penn State put out a video with Brent Pry talking about the linebacker U tradition. And I just found it really insightful about, you know, when a new coaching staff comes in, especially, you know, what Penn State has gone through with multiple new coaches over the last 8 years, that some of the tradition, you know, it's threatened unless it's really important to the new coaches who come in.
Right.
Unless it's really important to the guys who have come through and played, in this case, the linebacker spot. And, you know, Mark Brennan from Fight on State did another piece that kind of went along with that. The linebacker tradition means something to these young Penn State linebackers. It means something to Brent Pry. And he was sharing a little anecdote about 2016 when Penn State had all those injuries at linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some guys from the past, some of the big name linebackers who have been there, called up some of these guys and gave them their support. It just kind of spoke to me about the tradition and what it takes to keep it alive. And they're doing those things.
Yeah, they are. And they've done it a lot in a lot of different areas. And it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, not only do you have to get your entire coaching staff to understand the history of that place, but then you have to get recruits who don't have any connection to. I mean, some of these coaches might have a little bit of a connection to some of this stuff, but a lot of the recruits have none. And the further and further and further you go as a staff, the further you get away from that history. So if you don't embrace it early and really make it a part of your program, you're not going to keep it around. They've done a very nice job of making sure they do that.
Tradition isn't something you just flaunt. You got to feed into it, and Penn State's feeding into it at linebacker U. All right, as we mentioned, James Franklin, we're going to hear from him in just a moment, talk about the offensive line, a bunch of other topics as well.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.